from your home of off-season conditioning drills and cheese talk, semi-live from Studio A. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
How was your day?
Day off.
Yeah, me too.
Not bad.
That's just about right. I like those days.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a second to think about it. What is your favorite cheese? Give it a moment. I ate mine earlier today. That's why it was been on my mind all day.
I've had the privilege of having 2 year aged Pleasant Ridge.
Mm-hmm. That is good stuff. That's the smoothest. That's a good one.
You know?
Yeah. I was gonna go with the Hooks 5 year, but
that's a good one too.
I like where we're headed. Yeah. Oh man, yum.
By the way, I'm gonna dehydrate some cheese, I think, this week.
That's classy. I'm interested. Let's
powder.
Ooh.
For mac and cheese.
Man, this
instant
is instant
mac and cheese.
I like what's happening here. This is great talk. I'm very, very interested to eat that. Actually,
during the off season, we'll talk food
only. This is it. This is our shot.
Throw little Brewers, little something in there, but yeah.
just enough Brewers minor league talk, just enough Vikings franchise tag talk, and then just 22 minutes of cheese.
Sure.
That sounds odd, man.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, that actually is pretty much what I got written down on this on the margin down here. Yeah. No, it's as you can hear, light sports week, even lighter somehow than last week. Last week that we were just barely getting over football, just barely getting done. Now we're officially rearview mirror on the NFL season passed, and we are looking at 2025 offseason almost immediately, correct?
Yes.
Is it combine week?
It is Thursday.
Oh, I've been stretching.
Thursday through Sunday.
Ooh, that's a good week. I do watch a lot of NFL Network this weekend.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I don't know. I'm not a scout. Never claimed to be. Watch a lot of sports. Can't tell the difference between any of these guys when you watch them on. You can't. I'm glad they got a timer that says one guy's faster than another.
Yeah.
But man, these scouts are really earning it with, because like I couldn't tell you.
Right. Well, that's why those guys get paid the big bucks.
That's the very, very, and that's how they find your Tom Brady's. That's how you look into the third round and find a Russell Wilson. That's how Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
You know, every great NFL player got their start right here at the combine coming up. It's been in Indianapolis since
Mayans. Yeah, they're not going to change
forever.
That either,
I've been watching Mel Kiper at the combine since I was a teenager.
All of them.
Every single year. That is kind of fun. It's hard to really talk much about it as a sports. You know, I'm not.
Unless you're really into college football. I mean, really. I mean, these guys watch every game possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they some of these guys go. I mean, like Mel, I think goes into even some high school.
Really?
Yeah. He'll like 5-star recruits.
Sure. There's tape on him. Sure.
You know, you'll go back and say, hey, this is how he is, and this is where he developed, and so I mean it. It's a serious business because if you could pick up, a wide receiver in the third or fourth round that ends up being your number one guy.
Correct.
I mean, it's the same as having a rookie quarterback.
There was some scout sitting in a meeting pounding the table for that third round, for Tyreek Hill.
Puka Nacua.
Yeah, correct. There's somebody there. On the flip side of that, there's somebody who was pounding the table for, you know, every Packers defensive tackle that is drafted as a bust over the last 15 years. There's always, you know, every guy who pounded the table for that Vikings quarterback in the first round. You remember that guy?
Which one?
Christian Ponder was his name, right? Like, who's there? Is that a real quarterback?
No.
No? That's a bad memory.
That was a passing. I don't know what that was.
Yeah. All right. Good. Got our Vikings talk out for the day. And combine talk. Fantastic.
I mean,
there anything... Every draft kind of has some storyline to it, right? Like there's something that kind of beats the drum for why you're paying attention to the draft. This year, it's the University of Colorado, correct?
Yeah, those two coming out, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter won the Heisman.
Yep.
As a dual threat player out of Colorado, wide
receiver.
Literally
dual threat. He's a cornerback and a wide receiver.
Played nearly every snap, offense and defense. Returned some kicks and punts. Put up, of course, incredible video game numbers when you combine them. You can't even do what he did in video games, by the way. You can't be a wide receiver and a cornerback in Madden.
But his numbers as a wide receiver are not like off the charts.
No, he wasn't going to win the Biletnikoff Award for best wide receiver.
No, but considering that he was doing double duty, mm-hmm. then it looks impressive.
Yes.
But overall talent, you know, did whoever drafts him, are they going to allow him to do both? No.
I feel like somebody's going to have to. If he goes to I hate to keep bagging on the Jaguars, but if he goes to a franchise, say the Jaguars, the Raiders, somebody who needs that spark, that needs that guy.
I mean, I could see them
putting
him into like a Taysom Hill situation.
Sure.
You know, well, certain, you know, third downs or this.
You got about four plays for him a game that are very specific to what
he does.
But
he's going to be a cornerback otherwise. I mean, it gives him an advantage, though, that he knows offense as well as defense, too.
Correct.
So, I mean, we'll see.
Because as a cornerback, he's phenomenal. He's a first-team All-American as a cornerback. He's got great cover skills. He's 6'1". Travis Hunter was an incredible athlete. Went to Jackson State because of Deion Sanders instead of going to Florida State or a big, big school. Then he followed Deion Sanders and Deion Sanders' son, two sons, to Colorado, where Shedeur Sanders put up really, really good numbers the last couple years.
He'll be drafted in the top 10.
And he'll be drafted in the top 10 by, you know, probably
the Jets.
And
he's more of a traditional quarterback, too.
He is.
He really doesn't run much.
Despite being Deion Sanders' kid, and Deion Sanders was one of the most incredible athletes to ever go on an NFL field, Shedeur Sanders is a very classic pocket passer. Yep. He's got escape. You know, he doesn't overwhelm you with what he does. Kind of feels like a taller Bryce Young. You know, he's not Anthony Richardson, say. He's not going to run away from him. He's not Joe Burrow. He's not going to throw it 70 yards over
Anthony
your head.
Anthony Richardson, how'd that end up this year?
Not great. No. That comes down to those combine, right?
Yeah, like, and a side note for that
is
that the GM, they're doing press conferences because they're there in town and doing the combine. Quarterback competition at this point with Richardson.
Really? That's a fall for a – who was it? He was a third pick,
Well,
right?
the kid is – 12 games or 13 games experience walking into the NFL. They should have sat him no matter what.
Correct. They just couldn't. They couldn't help themselves. They saw something in practice, or they just felt needed a something.
Somebody was pounding their hand on the table.
Correct. Yeah. There's somebody who probably got fired at this point in their go of it.
But the combine, it will it increases your stock or drops your stock.
Sure.
Usually.
If you're the Minnesota Vikings, what are you looking? What are you looking to get out of this? You got four picks in the draft, right?
That's
a first round, a second, a third, something.
Know.
You're missing a lot of picks.
I bet they're going to do. There's going to be some trading, some stuff going on because that's so far the last 3 years for our GM.
Sure,
he's done that. You know, he's strategically. I mean, he did pretty well last year, but O-line.
Yeah, you finally don't need a quarterback. There's no talk.
No, we don't know.
First time in a while, quite honestly, they haven't needed to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, they should have drafted.
With Kirk Cousins, they needed to draft one for a couple of years. And then the last year they finally did, and they got real lucky. And well, maybe not lucky. They knew what they were doing. They got themselves a real good year out of Sam Darnold.
Yep.
So they've got their quarterback.
Running back, cornerback, safety maybe.
Yeah.
You know, Harrison Smith, I think, is going to stay one more year. He's due. If he doesn't, he's due like a $25 million.
As new as
– But he'll
$25 million for Harrison Smith.
They pushed it.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Years and stuff.
That's
because they pushed it back.
Correct, yep.
Restructured it several times over. Mm-hmm. But he wants to stay there, and I think he's probably got one more year. But he's aging. You know,
for as much as their defense turned over in the last couple of years and got young, the back end of that defense is old.
Yeah, well, Stephon Diggs.
Close. Stephon Gilmore.
Gilmore is a free agent because he came in on a 1 year deal.
Yep.
Byron Murphy Jr.
Pro Bowler.
Yes.
He's going to get himself a raise.
Yes. And I hope he stays, but he's not going.
And I don't know their cap situation, but it seems
they're good. I mean, with the new salary this year, they bumped it up by about $20-25 million the way it looks.
It's the perfect year to have a quarterback on a first round.
We also had we're about 58 above the cap.
Oh well, yeah. I mean that's like I said, every team seems to be able to make it work if they're smart enough. I mean, the Chiefs have the highest paid player offensively and perhaps defensively in the league, and they're making it work.
Well, yeah.
Teams figure it out.
Yeah, because you push off void years toward the end. I mean, Patrick Mahomes had a 10-year, which was unheard of at that time.
Yeah.
You know, what was it, like $250 million.
Yes, it actually was. Here,
but they restructured it last year. They redid it again. Yep. Hey, we're just doing this. You know, but
he'll be getting paid till he's 48 years old. Yeah, probably. But, you know.
Bobby Bonilla?
Yeah, but Bonilla. It's the Bobby Bonilla deal. Yep. It's 100%.
I think Minnesota needs O-line. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we witnessed that the last two games they played.
That's true.
Cornerback in the back. Running back. I mean,
yeah.
I think Aaron Jones will come back. Depending if they draft.
You know, I was reading an article about that. It said that if he comes back, they're not going to overdo it with him. This was the Aaron Jones is turning 30 this year. This was the most carries he'd ever gotten was this year. He made the Pro Bowl this year. He was used and used really successfully nearly all year.
And he was pretty healthy all year for the most part, except I think he missed maybe one or two games and part of them, whatever. But, yeah, I think we need to strengthen that running back.
Yeah, second and third round.
Yeah,
that always feels like the spot to get themselves that running back. I don't have the list in front of me, but it feels like nearly every successful team is getting their starting running back in the second. You know, is
usually
you don't necessarily need a Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley.
I mean, it doesn't
Christian
hurt.
Christian McCaffrey doesn't hurt, but only one of those teams made the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And it was so that's a yeah. There's
I,
your
that's about that's a pr- I think that's. The important is O-line, quarterback, and then running back. Because, I mean, you could pick up running backs whenever, but...
Correct.
You know, picking up a first-round guard or a first-round corner.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Mekhi Blackman, who was injured all year.
Oh, sure.
You know, he was a second-rounder, first-rounder a couple of years ago, but...
Okay.
He's coming back.
That helps.
So, that's youth. So, yeah, how about your Packers? What do they need other than... cornerback.
I mean, I was just going to say it's cornerback.
Number one wide receiver.
Again. Wait, and once again, your number one wide receiver would be amazing, but I don't think you can draft that. I don't think you're lucky enough to be able to draft at the 25th overall pick.
T. Higgins.
You could trade perhaps for one. You might be able to line yourself up a trade that gets you a number one.
Yep.
But Justin Jefferson falling to 20-ish. Is a really rare thing to get your number one, your best wide receiver. The Packers currently don't have that guy on their roster, but you're going to have to, and they have the room to pay him. So you're probably looking at a trade to get it. So you don't really need, and you don't need another fourth round wide receiver. Again, they do that every year. Yeah. You're good there. You need offensive line and defensive line and cornerback. Once again, it's been their
quarterback?
Corner.
Oh, corner.
Cornerback. I mean, please, you can no, Jordan Love. Jordan Love is we're stuck. We're stuck with Jordan Love for as many years as that contract is. We got
it's almost
Jordan
like a
Love.
Kirk Cousins kind of a thing.
Is. It 100% is.
Just a lot younger.
It is very, very, very similar to that where you're locked into that guy because he's better than replacement. He's better than 80% of the quarterbacks out there. Yeah, you're Jordan Love for the next 10 years, and we're going to talk ourselves into as Packer fans.
Three or four.
I think you're going to talk yourselves in for the next decade of saying, well, you know, he's not Aaron Rodgers, but he's, you know, he's not the Bears quarterback, whoever that is in 10 years. You know,
nobody's talking about the Bears.
No.
Which is really odd.
Yeah, for most of the league, they feel forgettable because they're not good. For us as Midwestern fans, we get to make fun of the Bears and their whole franchise and the fan base.
I feel like this next year with a new coach, we might want to watch out with them because
who did they get as their new coach?
Detroit.
Oh, that's right, Ben Johnson, the OC from
who was highly talented,
and
from
he got themselves a whole bunch of their coaching staff too to come over.
Yep.
No, that's a good call. I mean, I think it's still it's incredibly too early to start ranking the teams because they're the same teams as they were last year. I still think the Lions are better than everybody.
Yeah.
I would assume the Packers.
How about this? If Sam Darnold was on the Vikings this next year, would you go take him to the Super Bowl?
No. No, I would never say the Vikings to the Super Bowl.
I know you
would. Kidding
wouldn't.
Me? No, no, no good, no expert in good standing in the NFL would say that the Vikings are going to a Super Bowl.
They did this morning. Several of them.
Ew.
They agreed.
I mean,
Minnesota's got, well, O'Connell's got the connection with say, I almost said Sam Bradford.
Oh, I forgot. That's another
Ouch.
Unbelievable quarterback.
Ouch.
Didn't they give up a first round pick to
something
get him?
Like that.
Oh, yeah. Ouch. That's fun.
I'm just doing this to myself.
Just self owned for no I forgot about him. That's a great memory.
I'm just quiet now.
That guy could barely throw, and they gave him so much money. Yeah. No, but other than that, that's what the Packers need out of the draft.
Yeah.
It's nothing. They're going to pick an SEC. Some guy from the SEC is going to be on the first round. Alabama, doesn't matter.
Georgia.
It's the only Clemson. Way. It's the Packer way. I mean, it works.
Yeah, right.
It gets you the results you need. But I don't think you need any big surprises. They're not a team to trade up to get that guy. And I don't think this draft has that guy anyway. That you necessarily.
Not, and then there is a couple guys, I think, at the very top. They're going to go number one, number five, three, or whatever. But you don't want to give up that kind of capital to get them. So.
What you saw in the Super Bowl this year was two teams that were built very, very similar. It was a whole bunch of line, defensive line, offensive line. You saw what wins you a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles is they've been drafting pretty much in the same spot that the Packers and Vikings have over the last few years. Sure. They've really hit. They've hit in the second round, the first round. They've picked big-name college guys that have translated well to the NFL.
I mean, for a couple straight drafts, all they took was Georgia guys.
Yeah, it works. It turns out when
but now they're it's starting to come around where some of these guys are now off they're free agents or on their last year of the rookie and they're going to be looking for a deal and now the next couple of years for the Eagles that's going to be the money.
Yep.
You know,
I think they're in that nice spot where they just seem to keep drafting correctly. It always
helps. Howie Roseman is phenomenal.
As a fan, when you have confidence in your front office, like I do with the Brewers.
Sure.
That's why I can just always say every year, they're going to win 90.
Yeah.
And you're going to be right most of the time, even if I can't name the...
I mean, Nick Sirianni in his fourth year is one of the best records.
Yeah.
Ever.
And Nick Sirianni could have been fired. I feel like he was one loss away.
Several times over the last couple of years.
I felt like he was one loss away for the last 2 years from being fired, and he just never lost that game. And then he went on and dominated a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So now he's the coach forever, right? Of the Eagles, he's
sure.
He can. Although speaking Doug of Peterson got fired.
Huh? Yeah, right. Twice now. Speaking of the Eagles,
yes,
your Packers did something really shifty.
Shifty. That was a great yes. Really shifty of them. They were the secret team that complained to the league about the tush push. And for those of you asking at home, what are they talking about? If you watched the Philadelphia Eagles at all over the last couple of years. They have a play where it looks clearly like they're about to kneel the ball, right? It looks like the victory formation where the quarterback's standing very nicely behind center with guys behind him.
It's not a surprise.
And it's not a surprise. The announcers say it. It's fourth down. They do it on fourth down, third down.
They do it on every down.
At the goal line, anytime with under a yard. And it's a rugby scrum for anybody keeping sport at home.
Well, the rule changed about 10 years ago, not even.
Yes.
Because the rule before that didn't allow this was any other player that's not holding the ball is not allowed to push.
Correct. Because it was getting to a point where offensive linemen were getting behind a quarterback or a running back and just picking. Yeah. You could just pick him up and carry him 20 yards if you wanted to. So the Eagles snap it to the quarterback sneak, and then two or three guys just get behind the quarterback
sometimes.
And just keep trucking. Yeah,
sometimes. But there's been those tush pushes that nobody has touched Jalen Hurts in the back, but it's that old line that's just monster and great.
And so the Packers, because they
lost,
that's exactly
twice
to the Eagles. And I'm sure they thought that was the reason why. It's clearly the tush push that couple had lost the game for them.
Not interceptions.
They
not having a wide receiver one. No,
they both formally and secretively complained to the league that shouldn't be allowed. So the league's going to look into that a little more in depth.
Well, the league will, and it's the owners that ultimately vote for it.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be an interesting how they decide that you should or shouldn't be able to, because the only reason you should ban it is for the safety of players.
Which because nobody's ever gotten hurt on that play.
And I've never seen anyone get hurt. So that's one of those things where it's a play that works. Don't put them in a fourth and one position.
It works for them.
Yes.
It doesn't work...
That's true, because I've watched other teams fail. I watched teams against
Bills,
the Eagles.
The Bills done it, and they don't do
and
it really well.
Nothing good happened. You're absolutely right.
I mean, I'm sorry, but a team is doing it exceptionally well, and nobody else is, good for them.
To me, it's different than having a dominant run game. It's no different than a quarterback knowing play action so well that he's always open. It's It's something you learn and practice, and it doesn't look like a football play. I'll give you that. It looks pretty ugly, but it's really, really effective.
Yeah, it works.
But if the Packers have their way, they're going to have to come up with a different excuse for why they lose to the Eagles in the playoffs is how that's going to work. Because, yeah, you're right. Until these other teams solve their own problems, the Eagles quarterback sneaking it successfully is not is just them crying. So that was, you're right. And the other side of the NFC North, your Kevin O'Connell was the NFL Coach of the Year.
Yes, he was.
We didn't mention that last year or last week because, you know, all the exciting Brewers talk. It was, oh, man. And also, I still got more. I got more if we got some time. But Kevin O'Connell was a Coach of the Year this year.
Yep.
And we had talked about it.
And
well-deserved.
Sam Darnold, if he would have qualified for Comeback Player of the Year, would have won it. But he couldn't qualify because he really didn't play last year.
That's the perfect That comeback player of the year is a silly thing because it's only given to guys who get hurt and come back. Or, you know, real disease thing. Hard life, real life things happen
Didn't
to these
Geno
players.
Did Geno Smith get it?
I don't think so.
I thought he got one year.
Because that was the thing. Geno Smith was never hurt. He was just bad. And then he turned good. And Sam Darnold was in that same boat where he was a C-minus quarterback. And then one year he became a B-plus quarterback. But he should have won it. I'm not sure who did win comeback player of the year. But yeah,
Joe Burrow.
Did he get? He did miss a chunk of time last year, didn't he?
Like last half of the
season.
MVP was Josh Allen.
No, I feel like that's wrong though. I really Lamar Jackson. Clearly, the numbers Lamar Jackson puts up every year
is like Lamar Jackson doubt.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's a story. Yeah. It's the NFL needs that story. Josh Allen was the face of the league.
Saquon Barkley was in there for MVP, but he got
offensive player of the year, right?
Patrick Surtain, the second from Broncos, got defensive player of the year.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. Jaden Daniels, offensive rookie.
Rookie of the year? Oh, yes. Jaden Daniels had the best year.
Jared Verse, defensive rookie of the year.
Was he the Rams?
Yep.
Okay.
Linebacker. He kind of replaced Aaron Donald.
Okay.
Which was a great pickup.
Sure.
Oddly enough, assistant coach of the year was Ben Johnson.
Who's now coach? I mean, that makes sense. If you're offensive, I bet he was offensive coach of the year, assistant coach of the year last year too. Now he's an official coach.
Yep. And the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year was Eric Armstead, defensive end from the Jaguars.
Interesting.
He was for the 49ers last year, but
No, we were talking off air just what somebody would have to do to become the Man of the Year in the NFL, where there's so many charitable and these guys have so much ability to be a charitable person and are in their communities.
I mean, all these guys. If you ever watch, you know. I think every once they start doing it and nominating people, like during different games and stuff, they'll highlight, you know, who this person and what they do. Each one of them, all 32 of them, are like, spectacular human beings.
It's easy to be cynical about professional sports. It is, but the people, the athletes in it that are really doing some great things in their community, their college, their high school neighborhoods, they're where they grew up, where they're, you know, living successfully for a decade or more. It's really impressive what some of these guys can put together, charities that help a remarkable amount of people.
Right. Yeah. There was four people that was inducted into the Hall of Fame that we didn't talk about. That was Eric Allen.
Cornerback, right?
Cornerback.
Play for the Raiders, Saints.
Raiders, Saints, Eagles.
Okay.
Yeah. Favorite of mine, Jared Allen.
Oh, I do like some Jared Allen. He's on my short list of favorite Vikings players.
Really?
Oh yeah. It's him. It's Robert Smith.
Yeah. Oh, I love Robert Smith.
Chris Carter.
Yeah.
And the defense, John Randall.
Oh yeah.
That's it. Those are the only players I care about.
Being a fan, I got Dolman in there. Williams brothers.
Pat and Kevin.
Yeah.
Awesome. Right.
Anyway, so Jared Allen got into the Hall of Fame. With Eric Allen, Antonio Gates, tight end for San Diego.
I like that now we're entering an era where these guys play. Antonio Gates is such a great story. He was a basketball player out of Kent State, undrafted, played for one of my favorite all-time teams with the San Diego Chargers with Doug Flutie as their quarterback early 2000. Yeah, the incredible numbers. Antonio Gates was, when he retired, the best tight end of all time.
And he only played for the Chargers.
Correct. And he never played college football.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he was just a college basketball player.
And then the fourth and final inductee was Sterling Sharp.
Oh, finally. That's, yeah. Sterling Sharp's career, I think he only had about a 7 or 8 year career. He had a
concussion or something.
He was a neck injury. That's right. Yep. He's the brother of Shannon Sharp, tight end, who's already a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Was one of the best tight ends of all time. Sterling Sharp's career, he was a Pro Bowler, all pro, yep, with Don Majkowski as his quarterback. Yeah. And then he had a neck injury, never played again.
Yep.
That was a 7 year career, but he checked all the boxes for the Hall of Fame, yep, except for that huge amount of numbers, sure, that would get you there. But yep, yeah, Sterling Sharp, he was great. I remember watching him. There was a lot of really bad Packer teams.
Viking and a Packer got into the Hall of Fame this year.
I like that. I do. Well, if I'm gonna root for, like I said, there's a very short list of Vikings players that there's some great ones like Warren Moon, whoever. But Jared Allen and his really cool cowboy hat and his attitude and everything about him.
He's a country boy.
I remember him coming out of Boise State. Yep. I remember everything about Jared Allen. Was a really great player. I can get behind that.
How it was too.
Yeah, that's right. He had something. I remember him talking something. Yep, on his way out the door, he was loud and I like that about, you know.
Okay. By the way, you have like just a little over 2 minutes left.
Dang, look at us.
So, what do you want to talk about? Quick.
Well, we can real quick talk about the Milwaukee Bucks.
They're fourth place.
They are in fourth place. They've actually looked really, really, really good over the last. They made another. They traded
4-game winning streak.
They got 4 new players at the All-Star break this year, and all 4 of those players have done really, really well in these last 4 or 5 games. They're playing well against everybody. They're still, once again, not going to beat the best teams in the league, because I keep catching these other best teams in the league. Milwaukee's not on the same level as...
Nobody's beating the Celtics or the Cavs.
No, the Celtics... I saw some numbers. The Celtics are making and shooting more three-pointers than any team in the history of the NBA, breaking their record last year by like 6 threes a game, and last year's record broke a record that had stood for... the Bucks are not that good, but they've made the correct trades to make themselves at least a consistent over the next 20 games.
Scary all of a sudden is the Lakers.
The Lakers with Luka Doncic and LeBron James... That's prime time, man. They can put up triple doubles together every single game. Turns out you only need 2 people. You don't need all 5 all stars.
They were ranked before Luka got there. They were ranked in the bottom half.
Yes.
Of defense. Now in the short span, they're third.
Yeah, they say that Luka Doncic has come in angry.
Yeah,
and now he's ready to play. Which I guess
they're playing Dallas. I think tonight
they are playing Dallas tonight. I'm gonna watch 2 games of basketball when I get home tonight. Because
30 seconds.
Because the Badgers are on also today. Oh. They're playing against Washington.
Okay,
they lost. Yes, they lost against Oregon.
Okay,
they were up by a whole bunch. Lost in overtime to Oregon. They're still ranked in the top 15. They're still really, really good.
Okay.
So I'm going to watch that. Everyone should get excited about that.
Okay.
That's really about it. Yeah. Thanks for coming down. This has been a really, really good time. Thanks, WDRT, for letting us do all of this.
We'll talk Combine next week.
We will absolutely get really detailed into the NFL Combine. Have a great night. Bye, everybody.